From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of April 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Senator Harry Reid says no way to Republican proposals to limit U.S. EPA's ability to enforce greenhouse gas regulations. The agricultural ministry in Russia has upped the forecast for this season's wheat harvest. And on the subject of wheat, spring wheat growing regions in the northern reaches of the United States are forecast to have far colder than normal temperatures this season. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories this half hour. Also in this half hour, we'll hear more about that great big surprise from the United States Department of Agriculture last week as it relates to the grain stocks. Daryl Good will be here, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in on the agricultural weather forecast right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day higher in the corn and the wheat pits, but a bit lower in the nearby contracts for the soybeans. Contract in the May wheat at 790 settlement price, up 30 and a half today. July at 826 and three quarters, up 30 and three quarters for the soft red. And the September futures there at 865 and three quarters, 31 and a half higher. May corn, $7.60 and a quarter cents in Chicago, touched the all-time high at 765, did not settle there. Still gain at 24 and a quarter cents today. July futures, 767 and a half, up 24 and a half. In September, $7 and a penny, up 19 and a half cents. December futures, 645 and a half, eight higher. And the March corn, 654 and three quarters, up eight and three quarters. May beans, 1384, down nine and three quarters today. July, 1395 and a quarter, nine lower. August at 1396 and a half, down eight. September soybeans, 1392 and three quarters, four and a quarter lower. And November beans, $13.89, down a quarter of a cent. May bean meal at 357, down 390. May oil at 5888, that finished 20 lower. Live cattle futures at 122.37 were up 30. April feeders at 137.75, 35 lower. And April lean hogs at 94.20. down 2.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby May crude oil for the day at $108.47 a barrel. It finished 53 cents higher on the afternoon. Ethanol at $2.71.5, up 3.5 cents. Natural gas at $4.28.7, down 7.5 cents. And the May RBOB gasoline at $3.16.8, a penny and 7 cents higher there. Heating oil or diesel fuel at 3.17 and 4 cents, 3 and 9 tenths of a cent higher. Gold futures at $1,432.20 an ounce, up $4.10 on the day. The Dow now at 12,387, just about 10 points higher for this Monday afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. They say for this afternoon, scattered showers, cloudy, a high near 52 degrees, northwest winds at 18 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 28, a chance of precip this afternoon just at 30%. Tonight, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming clear with a low of 33 degrees, breezy northwest winds at 14 to 20. They'll gust all the way to 28. Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 53. West winds at 9 to 16, gusting to 23 miles an hour. And Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 41 degrees, south-southwest winds by then, 11 to 16 miles an hour, gusting to 23. Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high near 65 degrees, west-southwest winds between 9 and 13, no gust as high as 17. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 46. Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy and breezy, a high near 64. Thursday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 55. And Friday should see partly sunny skies, a high near 75 degrees. A great way to start the weekend. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line with us today to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We've got the pick of the week. We hit that big mark that everybody's been watching in the lead option for the old crop soybean, $7.65, all-time high in the corn market, reached back in 2008, and we touched it today but didn't manage to go through it. What's it mean?
Well, if you got caught buying it at $7.65 2 years ago or in 2008, then you had an opportunity to almost get your money back after you rolled it a couple of times, but it signals strong demand, you know, reflective of the stocks report there from last week. Traders are going to be anxious to see what the supply-demand balance sheet says here at the end of the week. Ideas are they could take these corn ending stocks down to 550 million bushels. That's not the tightest. About the tightest we've been in recent history here is 1995, we got down about 426 million bushels. Back in 2008, we still had ample supplies. We had about 1.6 billion bushel carryout, but 2008 was, you know, highly speculative driven, whereas this to market is demand and speculative driven both. The key is push on above this 765 area. Hate to reach this goal and sort of stall out here, but for the most part, funds were huge buyers today. They bought over 25,000 contracts of corn. So as long as demand stays strong and speculative interest stays strong, hopefully the grain market will hold together here for a while until we get into spring planting here and see where we are on production prospects as we start the 2011 crop.
Yes, and the World Ag Outlook Board, of course, will be releasing some updates on Thursday of this week. That's what you had a discussion about there for just a moment, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. And then this afternoon, the crop progress reports are out from USDA and all of the states. We'll have those tomorrow, or many of them, on this program. We like to keep you up to date on what each and individual state of the five top corn-producing states in the nation are doing. So I think most of them will have their audio reports up and running. They begin their weekly process now. What do we think we'll see this afternoon from them?
I think Friday morning's the U.S. The numbers there.
I was thinking it was Thursday and not Friday, but you are correct.
I had the eighth on that. This afternoon is going to be kind of important for the wheat prospects. Talking to guys out west, this weather over the weekend, as we experienced somewhat here in the central Midwest, was pretty devastating. Some areas out there have been extremely dry, and these winds and warmer temperatures picking up. There's starting to be a little concern on our western wheat crop, and I don't know if this weekend's weather is going to affect that or not, but we'll be watching that real close here to see what type of indication or what type of good excellent readings we see, but it's expected to show a little bit of stress there, and that's going to be a major market maker as we move along in here as we monitor the weather and this wheat crop, because this is the wrong time of year to see this wheat be subject to dry conditions, Todd.
And I suppose you also turn your attention in those reports to some of the places we don't talk about often, but at this time of year and then on the fringe, of course, what corn planting might look like in the Delta and the Southeast.
It's going to be a mixed bag. You go to the deep south, they're too dry. The upper mid-south area is too wet. And you get on further north, it dries out a little bit. But there's been some headway made, Texas. Well, of course, down in portions of Mississippi, southern Alabama and Georgia, of course. See how far along we are. There was some corn put in the ground in portions of southern Illinois here this last week. Things dry out here over the next few days. I imagine there's going to be quite a few planters running where they can. It's really hit and miss. Talk to some producers, creeks and rivers are out, and other producers are just bright. So it varies highly from area to area.
Old crop soybeans were 8 to 9 cents lower, but the new crop just a quarter lower to, I don't know, a penny higher for the day. What'd you make of all that trade?
Oh, just basically confirmation or more talk or concern that China might be switching beans from one crop year to the next or from here to the southern hemisphere. We'll monitor that as we go, see if that actually happens. That's nothing new if it does happen. Also, too, November's a little bit supported, just a lot more unknown there when you look at the acreage situation, and we don't have the bean crop in the ground. We're probably subject to bear spread. And just overall spreading. Ahead of the stocks report, if you look at price changes and what took place, the trade was actively buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat. And since last week's report, that's been the reverse here. So fundamentally and technically, beans might take a backseat here to the corn and wheat market over the next week or two.
How about your livestock producers? What are you telling them? On Commodity Week, it was all, if you didn't get it done, you still probably ought to think about getting some cash purchased.
Yeah, there's everybody's a little bit different, but I know commercial guys are calling all their clients trying to get cash grain bought, saying we're going to run out in June and July and August. There's not going to be a kernel of corn left in the world. So there's some urgency there. What we've done is had guys go ahead and get some purchases on, get covered, and buy a put option to hedge your bet a little bit here on that, because we don't want to get caught buying this strength, then all of a sudden see some blow up somewhere in the world and see everything collapse. So that's the simplest thing to do, is to buy your cash corn needs, lock that in, buy a put to hedge it, because there's some things out there that could decouple this market in a heartbeat, and we don't want to be subject to losing the $1.65 that we've gained here from last week.
You know, we talk on Tuesday afternoons with the folks about the agricultural energy markets, and I know Harry Cooney told us early in January that he didn't want to do it when crude oil was at the $90 a barrel level, but that it didn't look like a break was going to come in the crude market, so he wanted people to go ahead and book and get some of those things met for not only this spring but next fall. Have guys been calling and talking to you about this $108, $109 level on crude and what they ought to be doing about diesel fuel needs?
We've been buying the heating oil futures. A few has bought RBOB as a hedge here. Up front here, crude oil auto hold pullbacks this $105 to $100 barrel area. Kind of feel that energy is going to hold firm here for a while. Upside is probably this $120-$125 per barrel on crude oil. So they're still up there. But we've been doing the heating oil to hedge fuels needs. There's some creative ways to do that and minimize some of the risk here. The RBOB's probably going to be more exciting here as we get more into the driving season and see if these higher gas prices really curbs overall gasoline demand as we get more in the vacation time window, Todd.
Thank you so much, Kurt.
Very good. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org, or you can always dial this number, 217-333-3434. We call that one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail, updated at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year, with a bit of analysis and either the opening or the closing numbers.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Democratic leader of the Senate vows that any compromise on a government-wide spending bill will not include any GOP proposals blocking the Environmental Protection Agency from enforcing new regulations on greenhouse gases. Nevada's Harry Reid told reporters that neither the White House nor Senate Democrats are, quote, going to accept any EPA riders. Reid was referring to a raft of Republican policy provisions. They include cleaning up the Chesapeake Bay and shutting down mountaintop mines believed to be causing too much water pollution. The Russian Agriculture Ministry has raised the upper end of its 2011 grain harvest forecast range to 90 million metric tons, increasing the prospects of a possible resumption in exports. Officials have previously said Russia, the former number three wheat exporter, which banned exports last summer following a severe drought, could resume grain sales abroad if the harvest reaches 85 million metric tons. The new upbeat forecast comes even as the Russian Grain Union last week warned of weather-related risks to the crop after cold weather delayed spring sowing by about 3 weeks. A government outlook says that temperatures across the northern half of the U.S. will be below normal in April, in a sharp change from an earlier outlook. The end March update significantly extends the area in which below normal temperatures are expected. The earlier forecast called for below normal temperatures confined largely to the northern tier region extending into Northern California. The area of below normal temperatures now extends coast to coast from central California to Virginia. NOAA said La Nina conditions remain in place, but did not comment on the expected duration. And Goldman Sachs has raised its three-month price forecast for U.S. Board of Trade corn futures to $8.60 per bushel, citing bullish data in the USDA's quarterly grains stock report. In a research note, the firm also said it has raised its six-month corn price forecast to $7.80 and its 12-month forecast to $7. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. You know, I don't think I've said it lately, but let me say it now. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening on whatever radio station or web address you're listening to us from. It makes a difference to Dave and I, and we hope what we do makes a difference to you. Now coming up, you know, last week's USDA reports, as has been the case in recent years, held another great big surprise for the corn market. I'll have more in a moment. The number that caught the market off guard came in the quarterly grain stocks report. It measures how much of last year's crop is left to use this year. Well, the estimate of just about 6.5 billion bushels of corn was only 160 to 170 million less than the trade expected. And Illinois ag economist Earl Good says in most years that would not have been a big deal, but not this year.
And in a lot of years, that magnitude of difference would not be so important, but when we're dealing with already very tight stocks, that really caught the market by surprise, particularly since at the last minute some were expecting maybe USDA would find more corn than had been advertised. So that number says that we're used corn in the second quarter of the year at a very rapid pace, and that feed use of corn actually was up quite a bit year over year.
It doesn't matter much now where the corn went, just that more of it is gone than expected. He says it suggests the market must go higher to slow the rate of consumption, and it's already high.
And that simultaneously, we're moving into the time period when hog prices, for example, are going to be seasonally high, over $70, $75 hogs. Cattle prices are $120. We've had the biggest export sales of the year last week. Ethanol margins are good. So demand is strong, and we have to cut consumption. So, and we don't have much time to do it. We've got 5 months to get our consumption rates down. And so I think that's why we saw such a strong price reaction to that, saying, the price has to signal somebody to reduce consumption.
The questions to be asked are which somebody and at what price.
Outside of some kind of intervention in the market, the only way you can ration consumption is with a higher price. And I think that's what the market is trying to do now, is to find that price level that will slow consumption in some category, whether that's feed or exports or ethanol use of corn. Somebody has to basically be priced out of the market for a period of time in order for us to have enough supply to get through the year. This is a little bit reminiscent of 95-96, when we had a short crop and livestock prices moved higher during that marketing year. Corn prices kept moving up, but we just did not slow consumption. And then finally, in the spring of 96, prices just spiked to very high levels, $5.50 or better. And that finally coaxed some people out of the market. And it feels like that's kind of what we're doing now, is we're going to have to spike this market up, reduce consumption, and then look to the new crop to see if we're going to replenish our supplies.
And the USDA's acreage report for corn says, replenish, yes. Build, no. The agency surveyed farmers about their planting intentions. Around the nation, they expect to plant about 92.2 million acres of corn. That would just hold the line if demand next year is the same as this year. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Lisa Jones of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Lisa.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Now, you heard Darrell Good talking about rationing and trying to figure out who was going to be rationed out of the marketplace. The Andersons is certainly big enough, I suppose, to have an idea of who is and who isn't in the market. Anybody moving yet to get out of the marketplace, do you think?
You know, Todd, not that we've seen. We deal with some cattle feeders in the West. We've purchased a couple companies in Nebraska, and I think we've seen them kind of start to lighten up on what they actually want to hold, but cattle prices were so good for the last couple of months. They were almost in the sweet spot. I think a lot of people took the opportunity with the unfortunate news coming out of Japan to take a downtrending market and get some additional bushels locked in. So kind of a lucky move for them, at least for the short term, to get some coverage done.
And you rail to the southeast. Are those hog and poultry producers both? And how about them?
As far as we know, we keep shipping stuff out of here, so haven't heard any rumors of anything changing that way. We've heard rumors, I'm sure, come out today that other people have heard about South American soy meal that could potentially move into that part of the country, but nothing confirmed as of yet.
Ethanol plants are still rocking along nicely?
Sure are. I mean, it's nice that we're lucky that we have plants that all operate at or above capacity. So as far as we know, crunch is still there, you know, unless we see something different from the oil prices, it should continue that way.
I would think that should keep bases tight for corn.
It should. I think we'll just continue to see these levels continue. I mean, there's just not the old crop corn out there that we historically have in this part of the country during this time frame.
Your bids for the day?
We are 572 for cash corn, 613 for fall of 11 corn, 1369 for cash beans, and 1354 for fall of 11.
Lisa, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
You have a good day. That's Lisa Jones. She is with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday here on the Closing Market Report to take a look at the cash grain market. You can hear them again on our website at willag.org. Back in 2 minutes when we'll talk with Steve Hilberg from the Midwestern Regional Climate Center about the weather for the coming week.
It's National Cordon Bleu Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1828, Gasparis van Woden of Amsterdam patented chocolate milk powder. In 1871, Mary Florence Potts of Ottumwa, Iowa, patented the Mrs. Potts sad iron. It featured a detachable handle so several iron bodies could be heated and used in turn as one cooled down. Three irons, one handle, and one stand were sold as a set. In 1883, Peter Cooper died. Cooper obtained the first American patent for the manufacture of gelatin. In 1895, a cough syrup manufacturer, Pearlby Waite, purchased the patent and developed a packaged gelatin dessert. Waite's wife May named it Jell-O. In 1887, William Cumming Rose was born. An American biochemist, he spent a decade researching human diet. His research established the importance of 8 essential amino acids in human nutrition. And in 1932, vitamin C was isolated by C.G. King at the University of Pittsburgh. After 5 years of work on untold thousands of lemons, King and his colleagues isolated a crystalline substance identified as vitamin C. King was given a patent for his isolation process, but he was denied a patent for the vitamin itself since it was a known substance that had been isolated by a different method 3 years earlier. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast, Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, funded in part by NOAA and based right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like we're going to have some rainfall again through the week. You can tell me about that, and then maybe you can tell me how widespread the rainfall we had last night and how much of it there was across our area.
Well, let's see. First things, rainfall last night was actually pretty good in some spots. There was some heavier rain out west, and then further south, things sort of let up as the storm system or the frontal system started approaching us last night in central Illinois and Indiana, and that's partly because last night we're getting things winding down. But looks like most of the heaviest rain was generally in western Illinois. There were some amounts looking up to an inch there in central Missouri. But here in Illinois, most of the amounts probably were less than a half inch in most areas. There are a couple areas that might locally had more. But that's, you know, through 7 a.m. this morning at least, most of the rain was, the heavier rain was out in the western part of the state and a little bit down in the southeast where they got some good thunderstorms just before 7 a.m. this morning.
Yeah, our daytime high yesterday was about 35 degrees higher, warmer than it is right now.
Yeah, quite a shock.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were, I was actually rather surprised at how warm we got yesterday. To be honest, I didn't look what we officially were here, but I know it was 81 at my house and 81 or 82 at Willard Airport. So it was, which is very close to a record, and it was very warm, very strong winds. We had a lot of wind gusts in excess of 50 miles per hour yesterday, and that strong wind actually helped bring in that warm air. We turned it around from northwest winds on Saturday to strong south and southeast winds yesterday, and you saw the dramatic change, and then back again to the cold weather today. This is certainly spring-like weather here. It looks like the next couple of days actually won't be too bad once we get through today. It'll be a little cooler tomorrow. And I don't think we'll see much in a way of rain until about Thursday. But as you sort of alluded to, Todd, it looks like from Thursday on through the weekend, looks like it'd be sort of a wet period with off and on showers and thunderstorms from Thursday probably through the weekend.
And I see Friday, Saturday, and Sunday daytime highs in the low to mid-70s.
Yeah, it will be mild. We'll get back into that southerly flow again, and that'll start on Wednesday. So we'll have a day of dry and warmer weather to enjoy, and then we'll have to dodge the showers and thunderstorms later in the week. But, yeah, the upside of it is that we'll be back to the mild weather again.
Producers will want to start to get in the field sooner rather than later, eventually here. Do you think they can do it?
Yeah, I think so. We haven't had a lot of, you know, rainfall in March was pretty much below normal across
right.
the central part of the state, and in fact, most of Illinois. So the soils aren't too bad, and we, again, last night's rain wasn't exceptionally heavy, and as long as we don't get, you know, 1 and 2 and 3 inch downpours in short amount of time, I think that between the winds and everything else, things should be good.
Thanks so much.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.